All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Second half hour, Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, Chris Sill, Jesse, our engineer producer, and we've got Sean Singletary on the phone. Just a quick introduction, not that he needs one, but he's a native of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. There's another former Cavalier that we know and love who's from Pennsylvania. I know, Barry Parkhill.
And you.
And Wally Walker. Well, there's a lot
but
of
you
us.
You were from, like, Pittsburgh.
Well, the other side of the state, that's right. But at any rate, a couple things of note. Sean is one of three Cavaliers to earn first-team All-ACC three times. Now, I assume Ralph and Bryant Stith are the other two. I know Ralph would be one. I assume it's Bryant Stith.
Jeff Lamp got ripped off on that.
But and also, in his final year, which is 2008, he was the only player in Division I that had a 40-point scoring game, 10-rebound game, and 10-assist game. And the thing about Sean that I can tell you, for a 6-foot guard, he was an unbelievable rebounder. He was willing to get in there and go get that pill himself. And
can
the other,
you imagine if you had done that, Parkhill would have thrown you the ball.
Yeah, he would have been happy. and also a 3-time captain, which so Sean was a terrific leader both on and off the floor. But anyway, Sean, I think we've got you on the line, right?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
Well, we're just happy to have you with us, talking a little bit about your days as a Who. Let me go. Do you have an opportunity, or have you had an opportunity to work out with the current team?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I step in, you know, see what they're doing. And if they're doing, want to do some workouts, I guess I'm around watching, seeing how they're getting acclimated to the game.
Yeah, I was just going to be curious if you had any thoughts, particularly relative to some of the first-year players.
They got high basketball IQ. That's the first thing. I know when I come in the gym. Actually, I was just working out myself, and I just watched the end of their practice. And like I said, first thing I see, I recognize when I'm going to the gym to see the younger guys is their high basketball IQ, very athletic, good hands, you know, as a collective group, but they have basketball mind, so that's a good thing.
Well, I'm sure that makes Tony Bennett happy, because if nothing else can be said about Bennett, you better know what you're doing at all times, both on defense and offense, right?
Yeah, he's a great motivator and a great teacher. You know, he has a history of winning. He's played professional basketball himself, so he's been around the game for a long time. His father's been around the game for a long time, so he's part of that basketball pedigree, so he's a great addition to the Cavaliers.
Sean, wondering a little bit about what's going on with your hip. I know you've had some hip issues, and wondering if your health is back to 100%, and are you still planning to play overseas again this year, or are you trying to work in the NBA Developmental League?
Well, I've been down here for a while, you know, getting my body back together. I took a pound in college, and you know, professionally, when you're not playing on and off, it's hard to keep your body body maintenance up. So I had a few injuries earlier in my professional career. I'm finally healthy, and hopefully, you know, I'll start off in the D-League in America, and then hopefully in a month or two, you know, I can go to either Europe or get called up to play in the NBA.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, you and J.R. Reynolds, Jason Kane, but you and J.R. Really, particularly at 2007 team, the two of you almost were a two-man wrecking crew. So you did draw a lot of attention from other teams, especially defensively. And as you said, they, on occasion, roughed you up a little bit when they had that opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, and I, you know, we played off each other very well. We were very aggressive. We played for an aggressive coach, which matched our style of play. And we were able to have, you know, a lot of chemistry out there. First and foremost, you know, we were winners. And that's what we wanted to do, and we were able to carry our team to a shared ACC title into the tournament.
Yeah, that's one of five. Virginia's only shared the ACC title five times, so it's a fairly unique opportunity that you all brought to the table in 2007. What are the differences between Coach Lato and Coach Bennett?
What are some of the similarities? What did you say?
The similarities or differences between Dave Lato and Tony Bennett in the style of play and so forth.
They both are very, very competitive. They show it in a different way, which is why most people saw Coach Lato. Mainly, you know, most people saw misunderstood him because he was such a competitor, you know. But Tony Bennett comes from a different pedigree, so you know he shows it a different way. And like I said, they both like to win. They both are competitors. Tony's a little calmer, but then again, Coach Lato came from Calhoun, and Tony did not come from Calhoun. He's more of a subtle demeanor type of coach. So, but at the end of the day, like I said, they both like to win. I love them both.
Yeah, Coach Leto had kind of a softer side every once in a while that people didn't necessarily see. Isn't that right?
What did you say? I didn't hear you.
I said Coach Leto had a little bit of a softer side every once in a while that people didn't necessarily see during the games.
Yeah, I mean, off the court, you don't get to see the guy off the court. He's a family man. He has a great, beautiful family. And like I said, but he comes from a different pedigree, you know, and he's a little rough around the edges. But, you know, nonetheless, he's been a successful coach in American basketball. So, hey, you gotta take it for what it's worth, and I think he did a good job here for the most part.
Sean, looking at Virginia's guards, they got to go through a little bit of transition this year. Sammy Zaglinski graduated, moved on. I thought he was kind of a warrior, kind of like you, just not as quick and strong, but he was very game.
Also from Philly, I think.
Also
too.
From Philly, right?
Yeah. Sammy's a tough guard, hard-nosed kid, very talented. But you know, growing up in Philadelphia, you know, first and foremost to play on the court, you have to be tough. So I think he brought a lot of that, you know, to the University of Virginia. He played injured a lot, you know, and it showed. But you know, he had a lot of heart, so he played through those injuries, and he had a good career.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think anybody's ever going to forget that away game at Maryland his senior year at the very end of the season. He played one of the better games of his career when Virginia absolutely had to have a W. Sammy, did he get 25 points in that game?
I think you always play better when the ball goes in the hoop. You know, it's funny how that works.
Particularly for a guard, right?
But, Sean, tell us a little bit about Jontel Evans and his development as you see it.
He's a seasoned guard, senior now. He learns the game well. He's a hard-nosed kid, defends the ball very well, one of the best defenders UVA has seen in a while. He's been working on his jump shot a lot in the gym. I mean, I work with him a little bit, try to give him some tips. I mean, I'm not the best shooter in the world, but, you know, I work at it a lot. And there's some things you learn, you know, after, you know, putting up the reps in the gym. So I was able to teach him a little bit, and hopefully that translates to this year, his performance this year.
Yeah, he's a great, great defender, and I think that's why Coach Bennett likes him, particularly as an on-ball defender. You know firsthand that's a very difficult assignment, particularly in today's college basketball with the quickness of guards, to be an on-ball defender.
Yeah, it takes a lot of toughness and a lot of core strength, but it's mostly mental. And, you know, guys these days are very dynamic. There's a lot of size out there, a lot of athleticism, so, you know, to defend the ball as well he does, you know, it takes a lot of heart and a lot of talent.
Sean, we haven't mentioned Joe Harris or Malcolm Brogdon or Akil Mitchell. All those veterans are going to be counted on this year to really come through. Hopefully Malcolm Brogdon's feet will eventually recover some from that surgery that they had to undertake for him. But certainly Joe Harris and Akil Mitchell, they're expecting big things this year. What are your thoughts about those two players?
I think they're going to bring a lot to the table. Joe's a great scorer. He works at it a lot. He reminds me of myself and his work ethic. I think he's going to do well this year. I think Akil is very athletic. You know, he's a good leader out there, and he has a lot of charisma. So hopefully that'll translate to the games as well. So, I mean, I don't want to, you know, make any predictions, but I just think these guys have high basketball IQs, a love for the game, and I hope they'll do well this year.
Talk to us a little bit about what you've been doing to get your body back in shape. You've had that hip injury, and you've had some other nagging injuries. Talk about what you've done to get yourself back to 100%.
No, just a lot of core work, a lot of rehabbing, pool work. Just a lot of corrective things, you know, with here with Mike Curtis, and just, you know, lifting weights and, you know, just starting back from scratch, trying to get my body back in line. I've been doing it every day.
I saw you about 2 weeks ago at one of the football games, and I thought you looked lean, like someone that was almost still in college. Are you still at about the weight you played at back in the day, or are you a little bit stronger and heavier?
I'm a little heavier. I don't have the muscle mass because I'm not lifting under the same program I was when I was in college.
Right.
But, I weigh more than I have ever before, and I'm a lot stronger. My body is more aligned now. It'll translate to the game a lot better.
I should remember this. Didn't you play some football back in high school?
Yeah, I played football 2 years in high school. My final year being with Penn Charter, my junior year. And we had a pretty good season. We won an Interac League, and did pretty well.
And you were a wide receiver?
Yeah, I was a wide receiver in high school and defensive back.
Well, maybe we can get a waiver and get you 1 year eligibility. The football team could use a little help. You know, get that offense. Give Sims and Rocco somebody to throw the ball to.
That'd be nice, man. But you know, wishful thinking. It'd be some nice dreams out there.
A little far down the path, aren't you? Sean, we always ask our former Virginia athletes, what was their favorite moment as a Wahoo basketball player?
I had a lot of good moments, and I'm sure fans' favorite moment probably be, you know, beating Duke. But my favorite moment was getting my jersey retired and walking out there for my mother and father. I think the culmination of my career that, you know, summed it up. I was very happy. Everybody made my whole family happy, man. A lot of sacrifice, a lot of hard work from my family and close friends. So, I mean, that was my favorite moment.
Yeah, didn't you get fouled on that shot against Duke?
Did I get fouled? I'm not sure. I mean, but I know we got the win, and I'm not really thinking about nothing else. That was just amazing. It was a great team effort. And a lot of things go unnoticed. I made the shot, but, you know, JR had a heck of a game.
You know,
just like he had in the tournament, man. And he carried us through because, you know, I was dehydrated like crazy, and I was kept up all game, and he really carried us. So a lot of things go unnoticed, but JR was probably the MVP of that game.
Well, the two of you were a terrific combination. I hope Virginia can find another pair like the two of you. We certainly enjoyed watching you when you played, and we wish you the best of luck going forward, and we will stay in touch with you, and hopefully we'll hear some good news soon about you and your efforts to try to get back to the NBA.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys having me. You know, I really appreciate all the fans that in the state of Virginia and the neighboring states. And, it was a hell of a ride at UVA. You know, I'll never forget those moments.
Well, you gave us a lot of great memories, so we thank you for your time tonight, Sean, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show sometime down the road.
Thank you.
All right, Sean.
Sean Singletary, former terrific point guard at Virginia, you know, during my 12 years of doing the game. You know, I think about Harold Dean, Donald Hand, Sean Singletary, and the guy that would have been in there, too, had he not gotten hurt, was Majestic Mapp. You know, I think that would have made a difference in that time frame.
No two ways Majestic Mapp would have probably saved Pete Gillen and his staff, because he was the kind of player that made everyone better on the floor. Sean was the same way. I know JR was a terrific player, but Sean set him up many, many times.
And, yeah, well, they both were really, really gifted players. And Sean, talk about dehydrated. You know, Coach Leto didn't take either one of them out very often. They were both logging 35, 40 minutes a game. So they were getting plenty of minutes, but just both extraordinary kids.
All right, I think we need to pivot now, as Hobbo likes to say. And I think we have Dr. Gordy Rawls with us. Gordy, are you there?
Right here, Frank.
Good timing, brother. All right. A couple things. First off, Virginia is still missing Billy Shouts. He's still got the lower leg thing. I've heard rumors that it was the hamstring, but at other times I know that it's been other things on his leg. He has not played in weeks, and unfortunately, as good as Eli Harold is, he is not Billy Shouts, particularly against the run to that side of the field. Leroy Reynolds has been playing with a club, and I can't remember if it's his left hand or his right hand. Have you noticed?
I'm surprised that that's legal.
Well,
that was one heck of a bandage on that hand.
Well, he's using it like a club, I tell you. anyway, we know that Dr. Rawls is an expert on hand and wrist surgeries and so forth. And what are your thoughts about Leroy Reynolds playing with that club on his hand, and what has he gone through is your best guess?
Well, metacarpal fractures, which are fractures in the body of the hand, are very common. They're fractures that heal very well, and they can be treated a couple different ways. Either just with casting. You know, some fairly simple fractures that can be treated just with casting. I would bet you that he had a more severe fracture, though, and that it might have been stabilized with some small screws or even a little metal plate. There are a variety of techniques, but, you know, people have, I mean, the average person might think, well, once it's stabilized, then aren't you ready to go? No, unfortunately, these these screws and devices that hold a severe fracture together are really temporary, and they hold it together until the bone heals. So you can't really go out with something that is could be pulled loose without some protection on it. And so I don't know exactly what his injury was, but that's one good possibility. They had a metacarpal fracture, had surgery on it. You know, they let it heal, you know, enough that it was well on its way. But then he's got this, as you call it, a club. Probably what it is a cast. And you're right, if it were a hard cast, it would be illegal. So they put a lot of, usually put loads of foam all taped over top of it so it really can't hurt someone else, and so he can't, you know, re-injure the bone.
That's too bad. This team needs all the help they can get. He should be allowed to use something like you see in one of these horror films. I mean, he needs like a giant saw or something on there.
Sometimes it looks like our receivers are playing with a cast like that. They have a hard time catching the ball.
Well, particularly number two, Dominique Terrell. He couldn't catch a ball if it was handed to him. Morgan Moses, he's had medical issues. We don't know what's going on there. He did not start the game on Saturday, which I believe it broke his streak. I think he started something like 25 games or something consecutively. But he did play quite a bit, and we still don't know. I think there's some wondering if it isn't some form of mild concussion or something like that. It has to be something unusual because they're not letting the word get out. Also, Clifton Richardson, his hamstring seems to be healed, but he's not playing many downs. And Tim Smith finally did play after being out for three games, and he played quite well and even scored a touchdown. So you can see how valuable Tim Smith is. And he did have Achilles issues. Quickly, we got 30 seconds, Gordy. Anybody that has Achilles injury, assuming it's not ruptured, what might be the rehab and treatment for that?
Well, I mean, most commonly the Achilles, either it goes all the way. It's sort of an all or none phenomena. You know, when it, if somebody's playing with a quote Achilles injury, it's probably more just a muscle pull. Chances are he's got a muscle pull down near the Achilles, and he's recovering from that. I think you've got a great idea of the club with the saw. I'd like to. We'll work on that.
Yeah, we could. We need some advantages, that's for sure. But at any rate, Gordy, we got to go to break. But as always, we appreciate your time tonight and look forward to another visit.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for having me.
All right, Dr. Gordy Rawls from Ortho Virginia. We thank him. We thank Ortho Virginia for their support. We will be back after these messages with information on the Saturday show, the Olympic report, the LeClaire Ryan, and everything else. Stay with us.